Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
It is the Red Sox song. I don't care. It's fine. It's perfectly fine. Oh, man. Happy New Year. Did you watch any of the... I thought it was kind of cool, the Dick Clark New Year's Rockin' Eve, 18 other words thrown into this title of this thing, that we now have. They did it from Chicago for the first time, you know, and they were counting down off of the wall in Chicago because it's Central Time Zone. They always, what historically they do is they just do the New York ball drop, yeah, and then they replay that. Yeah. Like, what am I, like, you know... Liverwurst over here. No, all the people in the Central Time Zone don't count. So actually, I kind of thought that was neat, and it was kind of funny. So as the what time did the fireworks start at your house? Like near your house?
Oh my gosh, it was like 7:30.
It was as soon as dark. As soon as it was dark, people were out shooting things off,
and then it continued
because it's legal. It's legal now. You know, the state passed a law. What? 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, where it's legal on the 3 days, July 4th,
and they
New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Big ones, too.
Oh, yeah. There was lots of fireworks going off. And so I saw the ball drop, or I saw the wall clock count down. I don't know why they did it that way. They didn't do a thing drop, but whatever. So I saw all of that, and then I immediately ran outside with my phone, because there had been fireworks going off all night. And I made a Facebook post at one point. I said, police dispatch? Yes, I'd like to report 43 seconds of sustained silence just now. It was very unnerving. Oh, the dogs hated it, of course. You know, our one dog, is she loses her mind. She just gets all scared, and it's understandable. And the other dog's, I don't know, whatever.
Sounds like a war zone.
Yeah, this is fun. But then I ran right outside with my phone because everybody shoots them off at midnight if they can. This is at my house. This is the fireworks near my house at midnight. Like five different locations all around me are going off, and we can't see them. A couple of them we were able to see, but it was a lot right at midnight. So I appreciate my neighbors spending all their money so that I can enjoy New Year's Eve.
That's so sweet of them.
Yeah, they're so kind. They're so generous. 7-Eleven on News Radio 92.3. Yes, it is New Year's Day. Yes, we are live every day of the year. Say it with me, except Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah. No, with me, John.
I know, but you started too soon, and then I had to join in when I could. You went a little quick for
leave
me.
Leave that one alone. Okay, so I usually don't do a lot of the New Year's resolutions, how to keep them, what people are interested in, but I saw a really, really great article on this, and I wanted to share it. It was written by a, Lieutenant Colonel in the military. It's actually at military.com. And the headline was, Why New Year's Resolutions Fail and What Actually Works. And everything he said was right on track. So, I'm going to just spend a couple of minutes, talking through, you know, most people said, if you do a New Year's resolution, it's what? I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to save or make more money. I'm going to have less stress. I'm going to be healthier. You know, I'm going to look prettier. You know, all the things, right? Spend more time praying. Spend more, you know, do better at being a person. Whatever. Okay. And he says the reason that New Year's resolutions fail, number one, is because people assume that their motivation will persist. This is a planner, okay? This is a person who understands, you know, making a plan to achieve a goal. And so what happens is people think, you know, you're all worked up on the excitement of doing a thing, and that's very high in January. And so when do gyms get all of their memberships? January. When do they stop seeing people? February. They should just sell you a 30-day membership. Just period. We know you're not
Some
coming
do.
Back in February.
Some do.
Do they really?
Yes.
They're not month to month, but
no.
Just.
No.
Oh my God,
just
that's funny.
Yeah.
But what happens is life gets in the way. Your motivation shifts. Life gets in the way. Things happen. And so number one is, you know, you assume motivation will last and motivation does not last. So you got to create structures to replace natural impulse. Number two, they don't leave room for friction, right? You tend to think that everything's going to go according to plan, Well, what happens when, okay, let's take an example. Somebody says, I'm going to pray 15 minutes a day. That's actually a huge goal if you haven't been praying. I recommend small goals, 2 minutes a day, you know, a minute a day. Do something so small you'll be embarrassed not to do it. But okay, so, and let's say you do it 2 weeks in a row. You know, you work out the way you want to work out. You do a love note for your sweetie every day. You do the, okay, and then something happens and you miss a day or two. Well, the very normal, understandable reaction is, oh, I screwed up again. That's why New Year's resolutions don't work and you just kind of fall back into your old habit. Well, make a plan. Expect that it's going to go wrong. You're going to miss days. You're going to forget. You're going to screw up. Things are going to get in the way. And what's your plan for disruption? How do you get back on track? So he says the big reasons why New Year's resolutions don't stick, they're too vague. You know, be healthier isn't a plan. It's a hope, right? And that's true. They're unrealistic, too big of a goal without a ramp up. You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You know, and if you've never eaten elephant, well, don't set a goal to eat the whole. You know, if you've never run before, well, I'm going to run a marathon by the end of the year. Bro, you know, I mean, maybe they make a movie out of you, but why don't you set a goal to be able to run a half mile by a couple of months? Yeah, I mean, that's a more realistic kind of goal. They rely on motivation alone, motivation fades. There's no accountability. You know, goals kept private are easier to abandon because you didn't tell anybody. Therefore, you don't tell them when you fail. And there's no reset when things go wrong. I'll give you some other stuff in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
All right. Still dealing with the accident on North W Street and Marcus Point Boulevard. If you are on Marcus Point Boulevard going westbound, approaching North W Street, you're going to see about a 10-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you need a roof or aren't sure whether you need a roof, this is when you call Quality Roofing Solutions. Brian Ward started this company now 20 years ago, 2006. It's their anniversary year. They've done 10,000 roofs in that time. And about 90% are full replacements, about 10% are repairs. And you say, well, of course, they're going to recommend you do a full replacement because they make more money. Yeah. There's a reason they're rated a 4.9 on Google, okay? It's because people trust them, because they do the work they're supposed to do, because they save you money, because they, you know, people have all the good feelings about this when it's done instead of feeling like, oh, man, you know? And one of the reasons that they do a lot of full replacements instead of repairs is because by the time you mobilize in order to do a repair, the cost can be so high and you're going to have to probably replace the roof in a couple of years anyway, that, and it's going to be more expensive then, that you might as well do it now. Plus, if there's like wind mitigation surveys and you can actually reduce the cost of your insurance, if that's a relevant factor for you, there's ways you might be able to save some money, maybe even a substantial amount of money on your insurance. And so all of that they'll talk to you about and help you understand. And look, they take photos before, during, and after, so you have a record both for yourself and if you ever have to make a claim, God forbid, you know, you have, it's a kept on the cloud, so you're not depending on you to be able to keep this stuff safe. Like I said, they have 4.9 rating on Google, which is amazing. 10,000 roofs, and they do a lifetime warranty on their new roofs, which is absolutely unheard of, but they started doing that last year. So qualityroofingsolutions.com, 777-0961. All right, back to the how to, you know, make resolutions that do work. Here are a couple of tricks. Smaller goals. I'm a huge fan of small goals. Make goals so small you'd be embarrassed not to hit them. Clear structure. Built-in accountability and permission to adjust without having to either quit or just keep going. Like, you know, moderate it down or recover from a failure. So he says you want to focus on identity, which is kind of the what am I trying to accomplish? You know, instead of what do I want to do, who am I trying to become? I am a person who can lift 250 pounds or whatever. I'm probably whatever I'm saying about weightlifting is probably absurd. If you ever hear me doing an ad for a gym, you know it's like they've replaced me with AI. Like, it's
oh my goodness.
100%.
So at least we know now.
Running, weights, I've tried it. I've quit. Exercise for me has to involve points and a ball. so that's for me. Seriously, if you ever hear me advertising, you know, like for a gym, you'll know that's not me at all. They've replaced me with the AI. Anyway, so shift to something like, I train like someone who values long-term health. It's an identity. You know, self-talk can be important in teaching yourself who you believe you are. I manage money like someone who plans ahead. Instead of the, well, I always do this, or I always screw up, or I always, you know, negative self-talk is not great either. I respond to stress like a professional, not a reactor. Okay. But then here's the actual, like, action steps. Here's how to do New Year's goals that work well, or any kind of self-improvement. It doesn't have to be New Year's Day. Define the behavior clearly. What am I doing? How often? For how long? You know, get in shape fails, but I'm going to reduce my calories by 300, or I'm going to, you know, go to the gym. So much not me. Anyway, you build an accountability with a training partner, a spouse, a friend, a coach, a mentor, a tracking system so that you see progress. Because, by the way, one of the things that happens is if you build a behavior, like, you know, a couple years ago, I decided to read the Bible again. I'd read it, I think, three times. This is my fourth time through. And it's not a big goal. It's just one chapter a day. First thing in the morning, one chapter a day. Very small goal. And I am in Hebrews. I'm in Colossians. I'm almost done. Okay? What's wrong, John?
Wait, did you start this last year?
No. This is like 2-3 years ago. It takes about 3 years to read a chapter a day.
Okay.
Why are you giving me the stink eye, John?
Come on. You know, well, there's a reading plan out there that you can do it in like 90 days.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous.
It's not. It's not that hard.
It's a lot of effort. I know I can do a chapter. I've done it much more aggressively. When I first became a Christian, I thought, well, gosh, I probably ought to read this book.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, John's like, oh, why don't you lose 50 pounds this month? No. Read a chapter a day. You can do it. Listen, if you read the Bible every day already and you want to go with John's, you know, Herculean, read it, because he did, read it through, it's fine. Great.
I'm starting again today.
Good. For people who will fail, I'm trying to give them something.
I know, that's going to work. I just want to help you too.
Yeah. Okay. A chapter a day is doable. You will be embarrassed. But, like, we went on vacation. I didn't read any. What do I do? First day back, go back to it. Why? Because once you've done it enough, once you've done it for like 15 or 20 days, then you start to feel like you're betraying your own habit. It starts to become something that it's easier to do than to not do. But that takes time. Okay. And part of the reason you track things is because then you can literally look at the tracking monitor and say, oh, I don't want to fail. I've gotten so much built up. I don't want to fail now. So he's absolutely right about this. Let's see. Plan for failure without quitting. What happens after a missed day? What happens after you get sick? What happens after you travel? You know, what does minimum effort look like? You might have a goal to do this, but what happens when, you know, life is overwhelming for a little while? Maybe have a second or third level engagement, you know, that, you know, okay, I'm going to, John's plan, I'm going to, you know, read 15 chapters a day and get through it in 90 days. Or, you know, but what happens when life is really hard? Then you back off to Andrew's plan of read a chapter a day or something like that. You know, I've never prayed consistently in my life. I'm going to pray an hour a day. Well, good luck, maybe. Okay, how about you pray literally a minute a day and do that for a month? Well, that's so embarrassing to not. Exactly. Pray a minute a day. And then in February, jack it up to 90 seconds or 2 days or 2 minutes, you know, right? And then eventually, you know, it just becomes a habit. And eventually you're praying 5, 10, half hour. You know, that happens eventually. Realistic goals beat ambitious ones. Start smaller than something that feels impressive. The impressive thing is doing it consistently, not achieving some big thing that you don't actually achieve. Anchor the habit to an existing routine. I'm going to do this when I do that. Track your progress. Schedule regular resets to make sure you're on track. And he says, make it more than a resolution. You know, just make it something that you really believe is key to your, you know, your habit as a person. So anyway, just some thoughts. Everybody wants to do better in life. Those are some practical ways that you can do better in life. I have both failed and successfully achieved New Year's resolutions. And from experience, I can say these are good pieces of advice. You know, you fail a little bit and you learn what doesn't work. 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Happy New Year. I'm Andrew McKay.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
What's going on over here? There's a beached whale. She's dying.
Is anyone here a marine biologist?
It always seems to be so hard to give. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue.
725 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're back to rolling accident free right now. I-10, I-110, 90, 98 are all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Look at all you people recovering from New Year's Eve by not driving this morning.
Proud of you.
Yay.
Yay.
Or saving up and getting yourselves ready for a long day of football today. I had to warn my wife today. Yesterday I said, okay, so I'm watching two games today. Tomorrow's going to be a lot of games. A lot of football tomorrow.
Right. I already warned her.
Yeah. And your game is late.
I know.
What time does your game start? 7:30? 7? Well, that game will be over by 10.
Yeah. Just kind of like last night's was.
Yeah. That was not that bad.
No.
John went to Ole Miss and, you know, they're playing Georgia, which is Meg's, you know, so I'm staying out of this. I do not have a dog or a rebel in this fight.
Or a cat. Yeah.
I got nothing in this fight. I'm just looking for a good game. 725 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see. Steve Taylor is in for David Wayne all this week with our headlines. Steve?
Well, Zoran Mamdani placed his hand on the Quran as he was sworn in as the new mayor of New York City. He's going to do it again later today at a public swearing-in. Mamdani is the city's first Muslim mayor, and he's opting to use copies of the Quran that belonged to his grandparents and one that belonged to a black writer and historian, Arturo Schomburg. But some elected officials are not happy about the thing. Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville posted on X a screenshot of an article about Mamdani's use of the Quran, writing, quote, "The enemy is inside the gates," unquote. Well, people in Pasadena, California, going to the Rose Parade today, going to get a little wet. They're preparing for basically moderate to heavy rain during the parade and possibly the Rose Bowl itself. The parade has not seen rain since 2006. And today, more classic cartoon and comic book characters are set to enter the public domain. Betty Boop, you remember Betty Boop?
Never heard of her.
Oh, real?
I'm joking. Oh, joking. I'm just trying to make you feel bad.
Yes, I'm only 77. Also, Blondie is another one that's going to be intellectual property whose 95-year U.S. copyright maximum has been replaced.
I thought I saw for Blondie, it's like the first 4 months of the strip or something like that. It's kind of weird. It's not like all of it. It's just the beginning of it or something.
Right. And it sounds like it's going to be rolling the way you express it, that, you know, maybe next month it'll be the
it's like Mickey Mouse. The Steamboat Willie is in the public domain, but the modern iteration of Mickey is not because it's younger. So it's kind of interesting. And be careful because you get sued. You use the wrong one.
Especially if you're using a Disney character.
Right. Oh, my God.
Very
yes.
good about suing you. Other works that are entering the public domain include All Quiet on the Western Front, William Faulkner's As I Lay Dying, and Georgia on My Mind. Georgia. And that's what's happening.
You've re-traumatized me by mentioning As I Lay Dying. Anything William Faulkner. Oh, my God. Yeah. Stop it. All right. Steve, thanks so much for the update. What was your first story? I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to interrupt you. What was your first story?
It was basically Zoran.
Oh, Zoran Mamdani. Yeah. Okay.
Using the Quran.
Yeah. No, perfect. Thank you so much. Okay. I understand if you're a Christian and you swear on the Bible, it's weird to swear on the Quran. But what would you have him do, swear on the Bible? Something that he does not believe in? I mean, Muslims generally have respect for the Old Testament, but, you know, not the New Testament, right? Or, I mean, they sort of, it's kind of a complex relationship. But to them, the Quran is, you know, the more reliable, full, accurate, and in Arabic, by the way, word of God for them. What's the purpose of having an oath? The purpose of having an oath is having somebody acknowledge that they are accountable to something that is greater than them and to which they will care in the times when they're able to get away with stuff. I mean, that's why we swear oaths, right? Is you're acknowledging something greater than you that's going to hold you accountable when you can get, because in positions of power, you're going to be able to try to get away with stuff. Whether you do or not is different. I'll be honest, I don't love anybody swearing on the Quran as opposed to the Bible unless they believe in the Quran. And if they believe in the Quran, I want them to swear on the Quran, because what I want is for public officials to keep their bad behavior in check and to be kept honest. And so, you know, Tommy Tuberville aside, it'd be silly, frankly, to have a Muslim swear on the Bible, or to have it'd be like, imagine you live in some Eastern country and, you know, everybody has to swear on the Upanishads or the or the Bhagavad Gita, you know, or the Tao Te Ching. So I'm a Christian. I swear on the Tao Te Ching. What does it mean? Nothing. Because it doesn't mean anything to me. So, again, I'm a fan of allowing people their religious freedom. It does not mean I don't believe there's truth. I do. I'm a pluralist in the political sense, not in the view of truth sense. But, yeah, if it doesn't mean something to them, then what's the value of having them swear on something they don't hold in high honor? I want them to swear on something that might actually hold them accountable in private moments.
Paul Stevens, the world ushering in 2026 with big parties and celebrations, an estimated 1 million plus people packing Times Square in New York to watch the ball drop. Meantime, an explosion in a Swiss bar leaves dozens of people dead and around 100 injured at a New Year's party.
Several people have been killed in an explosive fire at a New Year's Eve party in the Swiss Alps. Local police say several people are also injured, but an exact number hasn't been confirmed. More than 100 people were in the building at the time. It happened at a bar in Crans, Montana, a luxury ski resort, some 2 hours from the Swiss capital of Bern.
And that is Fox's Chanley Painter. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning and Happy New Year. It's 7:31 right now, 42 degrees and sunny. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. A dispute is brewing at Escambia County over who controls the taxpayer money. The Leah Gibson Foundation asked for $1,500 to cover the costs of the Feast of Love, which is a free Thanksgiving meal that fed 800 people in need. County commissioners voted yes, but the county clerk refused to issue the payment. Commissioner Mike Kohler says it's a gray area about what qualifies as public purpose.
So more than likely, I think we're going to have to ask the Attorney General for an opinion. I do think that we need to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars. But at the same time, I also think, what kind of community is it if we can't help our most underprivileged citizens that live among us?
And it looks like both sides are going to head to the Attorney General for an opinion. They will meet again on January 9th. A new roundabout's coming to Pace, but not everybody there is thrilled about it. Plans have been released to construct a roundabout near Pace High School to replace the all-way stop that's currently there. Starting January 12th, drivers will have to find an alternative route because the intersection of West Spencer Field and Glidden Lane would be closed for about 8 months, but with multiple schools nearby, some feel that would be a problem. Resident Angela Gray says her son goes to Pace High School.
Our kids and all of the parents taking their kids to school and all the people that are going to work and to home and the grocery store have to find an alternate route to go, because this is a quite busy intersection, and putting a traffic light there would be a simpler solution. You wouldn't have to close it maybe, a couple of days.
Gray feels the traffic light would be better there, but Santa Rosa County Administrator Brad Baker says the stoplight was the first option considered, but the county hit a roadblock.
Have it from each side of the intersection. As most people know, there's a outlying field for the Navy right beside there, and they had no interest in us acquiring any land from there, so we're able to do that with a roundabout.
Construction is going to start in mid-January, but the school is back in session next week, so many are questioning the timing of the project.
So we looked at the school calendar and communicated with the school board, and by starting it now, we only have 85 conflict days when school is in, where if we waited to start it in the summer, it would it would linger over into the new school year, and we'd have 110 days of conflict. So we chose the 85 days of conflict versus the 110 of school days, just by the sheer timing of it.
The roundabout's going to be paid for with the county's capital improvement fund and local option sales tax. In our forecast, it's going to be sunny today. It's beautiful right now. A few clouds maybe drifting in. A high of 67. Tonight partially clear, low of 47. Tomorrow should be even warmer, though, going up to 71, but then the showers are going to move in. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Sounds good. 42 degrees right now in Pensacola. It's 45 in Gulf Breeze and 35 in Milton at 735. Next news is at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Reuters reports Warner Brothers Discovery will likely reject Paramount Skydance's roughly $108 billion hostile bid, despite a personal guarantee from billionaire Larry Ellison backing the media giant's offer. Sources say the board has yet to make a final decision, but is expected to meet next week. China's Commerce Ministry says it will impose additional tariffs of 55% on beef imports from some countries, including Brazil and the U.S., when shipment amounts exceed certain quotas. The measures will take effect on January 1st, 2026, and will last for 3 years. Idaho-based food company Hayburn is recalling nearly 3,000 pounds of raw ground beef that may have been contaminated with E. coli bacteria. The product was shipped to California, Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Pennsylvania, and Washington. The stock market is closed in honor of the holiday and will reopen tomorrow. That's Your Money Now.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
When I heard I needed a heart transplant, I thought it was game over. All I could think about was the memories that I wouldn't be able to make with my family.
Then an angel entered our lives as an organ donor. Their decision to register as a donor saved my husband's life.
Save lives, say yes. Register today as a donor at DonateLifeFlorida.org.
This message is sponsored by Donate Life Florida and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:38 on News Radio 92, almost 7:37 really, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I appreciate that.
You're my first person I'm talking to. I could talk to John, I guess, and Steve and the audience. So you're not the first person I talked to today. So anyway, Happy New Year. Questions I have for you. No real incidents in the last week, right? No big, like, newsworthy incidents?
No. Now that I think about it, we had an incident yesterday where a man was found deceased off DeVille Street. He was in an area where a dumpster is stored, so it looks to us like he may have gone into that cubby in order to escape wind from the night before. He was found deceased the next day. So we didn't see any signs of trauma that were obvious. So we don't know if it was a health-related issue, if it was the cold, or what's going on with that. But besides that, it's been an uneventful week.
Man, now that's sad, of course, and it's terrible, but okay, I appreciate that. Anything last night, the fireworks, you know, downtown, any, do you, I always wonder, I know in the city it's illegal to shoot off fireworks because the city has its ordinance, even though the state has made it so that it's legal to do fireworks on July 4th, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day today as well, but not in the city of Pensacola. I assume you still get a lot of calls. I assume, I don't know, what do you guys do?
Yeah, it's still if it flies or goes bang, it's still not legal in the city. And we have to, we answer those calls. Each and every call that we get, we're going to respond to on busy nights like New Year's and the 4th of July. It may take us a while to get to that complaint, but we will respond to all of them. If we see that going on, then we confiscate the fireworks, we issue a warning, and we leave. So, nothing, you know, just the normal calls last night, nothing big to announce, which is a great thing. It was a nice event last night downtown, and everything went off without a hitch.
Any gunfire from last night? I mean, I'm always concerned about that because, you know, people do dumb things, right? They don't know the law and they do dumb things, and then that's always at risk to people, but nothing like that?
Yeah, nothing that I'm aware of, no.
Okay, fantastic. Do you, you know, I was thinking about this the other day with, you know, football games yesterday, some, and then all three today. This may seem like a crazy question, but do you guys prep for extra response concerns around sporting events that are not here, but just people here care a lot about? I mean, obviously you're an Alabama fan, got the Alabama game today, you know, lots of other big games today. But is that something that affects your scheduling and your planning?
Not really. You know, sometimes on Super Bowl Sunday and days like today, sometimes we'll see some disturbances related to that when you mix alcohol in with a bunch of guys cheering for a team and things go wrong. Sometimes the disturbances happen. We have them in places, in bars and restaurants, and unfortunately domestically. But it's not something that we can just plan for. It's something that we respond to.
Very good. A question that I had, it's not a city case, but I know you're aware of the bank where the money came out of the, basically out of the armored car or the teller or some of these details are a little bit sketchy to me. But there was money flying around on the street near the Wells Fargo a couple of days ago, and people collected it and returned it. And I thought that there was a law that required you to return it, but I don't know the shape of the law or if that's even correct. So if there is money out on the ground that is reasonably from a bank truck, is that illegal to take it? Am I breaking the law if I take it?
Yeah, it's not yours. And you know it's not yours, so it would be illegal if you picked that up and took it. So a lot of people, fortunately, from what I saw in media reports, did the right thing. That a lot of people showed up and collected those bills and gave it back, and which is the right thing to do. There's still a lot of good people left in the world.
Yeah, no, I agree. I love the story, and I'm glad that so many people did all the right thing, and then sort of, you know, collective consciousness kept other people doing the right thing. But then at sort of at the other end of the spectrum, because, you know, John Pickens has got a very sour face right now because he was hoping to get a bunch of free money from, you know, some. If you find a 20 on the ground randomly walking around, it is okay to pick that up and keep it, right?
Yeah, that's different. And not too long ago, we had an individual find a large amount of money downtown. She did the right thing. She turned it in. Nobody came to say it was theirs. It didn't happen. And 30 days later, we gave it back to her. She did the right thing, and she ended up with the money. So it's different if you just find something. But if you know in a case like what happened at the bank, you know that it came out of that armored truck. You know it's not yours, and it would be illegal to take that.
So is the line reasonable belief that it belongs to an identifiable person? Is that because, again, like the bag of money, it sounds like, I mean, that's obviously the good thing to do. Would it have been illegal for her to keep it? That's what I want to understand where the line is or where you start to think about prosecuting versus not prosecuting.
Yeah, you have to reasonably know. I mean, we can say that this money did not belong to you. It belonged to someone else, and you can identify them right off the bat. If you cannot, then that's when you still should turn that in. And then after 30 days, if nobody claims it, then we will turn that back over to you.
Got it. Very good. Then I mean, I think that's a question that everybody has watching this story is, well, you know, 500 for you, 100 for me. You know, is that a crime?
Right.
Yes, that's a crime. But it's not specific to being a bank or an armored car. It's specific to being able to identify. It's like, I mean, if some woman just comes out of the bank and then she trips because her heel breaks and she spills her $1,000 all over the ground and you rush in to take some, well, that's just theft, right?
Yes, that's theft. Yeah. Absolutely.
John still looks so discouraged about this. He was hoping that the law was
different. My apologies. My apologies, but I don't make the laws.
Not trying to ruin it for you. Obviously, here in a couple of days, Palafox is going to close. In fact, tomorrow we've got the basically the furniture is supposed to come off of the right of way, so tables and chairs are supposed to be removed. When I drove by there, I drove down Palafox yesterday and shot a video just to remember what it looked like now versus in 6 months. But you know, I saw a lot of them already had it basically packed up. They got to clear a 6-foot space for people to walk because, of course, the sidewalks are going to remain open. Then on what Monday is when they're going to start actually closing at 6 a.m. So you want cars off by what Sunday at 8, something like that? Is that right? Are they going to get towed?
Yes, they will. They will eventually get towed. I don't know exactly what time it is, but it's posted. And, yeah, the best thing to do is just not park on Palafox because the construction is going to get underway. And, you know, we hate to tow cars, but that's what's going to happen if you leave a vehicle there.
What are you guys doing? Actually, hold on for just a second. I'll ask a question on the other side. John Pickens has traffic on the files. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, 29, I-110 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for PPD. What are you guys doing to prepare for this at PPD? Anything particular?
No, we're just going to assist when we need to with traffic. And once things get in place, the barriers get in place, it's pretty much going to run itself. We do encourage people to go downtown and to continue to do business down there. And we're all going to get through this together. The end result is going to be something we can all be proud of.
Are you scheduled more foot and or bike police for Palafox? Because obviously now you won't be able to drive it and you won't be able to cross it in a vehicle either, which I have to imagine maybe crossing Palafox isn't the primary route for response time for police because Maine or Cervantes would be so, or Garden would be so much better. But is it going to affect you guys logistically at all?
No, we already have officers down there on foot and on bicycles anyway, so it's not going to affect us at all.
Okay, you don't rely on cars primarily on Palafox to begin with, so this is not a big deal. Okay, which makes perfect sense. Very good. You know, obviously, you guys have a police chief selection coming up. You know, they're going to be doing these interviews. What's the sentiment among the police officers? Are they, you know, Christian Brown's going to be retiring, but when there's change and change, you know, can be nervous and anxiety producing. What's your sense of the department as you're going through this transition?
Well, the department is backing Captain Goss and or interim chief or assistant chief Goss, and they would like to see somebody be promoted from within. I mean, when you're a brand new police officer, a lot of them dream of becoming chief of police one day, and this just goes to show if you do what you're supposed to do and you do it very well, you could achieve that goal. And but we understand other folks are going to be looked at, and it's fine, and we're going to be able to talk to those individuals as well. But the overall feeling for the Pensacola Police Department and the officers that work there is we would like to see a chief boss.
I hate to tell you this because you wouldn't have known this, but your phone was super breaking up on me just there. We were able to hear it is why I let you keep talking, but it was like every other half second it was in and out. So I don't know if you're going to be able to answer the last question that I have for you, but we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week? I know, I think both of us sort of forgot we were on a Thursday today, but do you have one for this week? If not, I have one.
I hope you do, because I got to be honest with you. I forgot what day it was.
Oh, no, that's perfect. That's perfect. Okay, so I'm always fascinated by movies and TV depictions of things, and I know that, you know, 98.3, that's science, percent of the depictions of police or radio or education or nursing, they're always false, okay? It's all false. But the picture we have of a stakeout is two guys, typically guys, but two police officers in a car, eating junk food all night long, watching for the bad guy from a half a block away. Is that picture even remotely accurate?
Maybe. It depends on what the person is wanted for, why they're there. A lot of times, though, it'll be done with a single officer in a vehicle. But if it's something that could go down right now and it can be a dangerous situation, then two officers in the car would be something that we would do.
And do they quote movies back and forth to each other to pass the time? Because it's a long time they got to sit there, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation that goes on, and a lot of it is quite colorful. But we have to entertain ourselves, and yeah, it's I don't want to get into all that, but we do have to stay awake, Andrew.
Honestly, I have known you for so long. That might be the most understatement you have ever engaged in with me. they have conversations, and sometimes it's colorful.
Yep.
The cops I know,
yes.
that nobody can say that's false, but let's just say that's under-describing the reality of the thing.
That is a highly trained response.
Oh, Mike, happy New Year. Thank you, as always, for the time. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you.
And you know what? I'm gonna do something that you are not going to believe I'm going to do. But this shows how much I love you as a person.
You're going to cheer for Alabama.
I am literally going to say this on the radio just for you. Roll Tide.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I know.
Wow.
Now,
I'm going to play.
Yeah, it's going to be the ringtone
for
me.
I don't know what to say.
Hey.
Yes.
You know, I will not say it during the game. I would not otherwise say it, but that is literally purely a product of how much I care about you, that at this one little moment in time, I care about you more than I care about my hatred for Alabama. Okay? So, see?
And it is greatly appreciated, sir.
Mike Wood, we'll talk to you next week, sir. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
John can't believe it. John feels like I betrayed all my principles.
I'm just speechless.
Hey, at one time I lost a bet with the Cubs and the Cardinals with Joe, who used to be our news anchor,
yeah.
And I sang the Cubs song. I'm a trained professional. I can say things I don't believe.
Well, dadgummit,
somebody's going to be like, you lied.
I know, Andrew.
It's not a lie. I said it because Mike's a friend.
Uh-huh. And, keep going.
Okay,
Yeah, keep going.
Auburn fans are like, what did you do?
I know.
But you know what? I have a lot of real dear, dear friends who are Alabama fans. I won't name them for, I don't want to embarrass them. But dear friends who are Alabama fans. You know, I would think that maybe on a rare moment of just candor and joy, they might be able to utter the words War Eagle to me.
Okay. Yeah. We need you to learn some stuff about SEC football.
Okay.
Let's sit you down and tell you.
The naive optimist inside of me thinks that maybe.
Yeah, that maybe won't happen in the South.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I'm Andrew McKay.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
VapoCool.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
How about it, you creeps, you lunatics, mental defectives?
Oh, the texts are killing me.
I can only imagine, Andrew.
You betrayed your values. Oh, my God. Your IQ just dropped 10 points. Only 10? No. 437-1620. Andrew, don't you understand that football's like a religion? Yeah, but, I know what religion is, and football's not that. Oh, you know what, John? You and I were having a conversation earlier about the whole, setting a New Year's goal or, reading a chapter a day is what I say. if you don't read the Bible regularly to begin with, you know, read a chapter a day. And you said read it in 90 days, which is a Herculean task, I think. And I looked at your chart. That's like 20 chapters a day.
Yeah. This is actually a 60-day reading plan.
So it'd be, like 12 to 14 chapters a day if you're doing it in 90 days. The one thing about that is there's a value in doing it fast because you get it all. You know, you see a little bit more global perspective. But there's also a flaw in doing it fast, which is that when you try to read the Bible fast, it becomes like just a chore. It can be. And it can be where, like, you're just going to force feed yourself. And you're not really digesting it the way you digest it if you go slow. It's kind of like exegetical preaching, which will sometimes go as slow as, you know, even a word, but, you know, like a verse a day. And I think that can be too slow. But, like, passage-sized chunks are generally a little bit better for comprehension and retention. So that's another thing about sometimes, you know, almost like doing too much winds up being actually doing less. And, like, how I try to do too much on this show and then... like less is more. Sometimes be a little bit better. Just talking to me. Andrew's resolution for the new year is to talk slower and
whoa,
say less.
Okay, that's recorded.
Never happening. Listen. I would cheer for Alabama before I talk slower. So
well, you're cheering for.
I didn't cheer for Alabama. I said a nice thing to a friend to make him feel good on New Year's Day before I really, really hope they get destroyed tonight. That's my real goal.
You're not supposed to say that. Maybe he's listening.
He knows.
Oh.
All right. Let's see. Traffic on the fives. Go ahead, sir.
No accidents to report to you right now. It looks like Highway 29, 90, 98, 97, 14 are all doing good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Did you call a play?
Yes.
Is that the run pass option?
It is.
Or is that the Hail Mary? Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, President Trump is abandoning efforts to deploy the National Guard troops in three major cities. The move comes after the Supreme Court ruled last week Trump could not send the National Guard members to the Chicago area over the objections of the state officials there. In a post yesterday, Trump says troops will return to Chicago, Los Angeles, and Portland, quote, when crime begins to soar again, unquote. Well, several people are dead and others are injured after an explosion ripped through a crowded New Year's Eve party at an alpine ski resort in Switzerland. Police say there was an explosion about 1:30 a.m. local time at a lounge that was popular with tourists in the mountains east of Geneva, which also triggered a fire that spread through the bar. The Swiss media is saying over 100 people were in the bar at the time of the fire, and the number of casualties has not been confirmed yet. And the cause of that explosion is unclear. And speaking of raining on your parade, officials in Pasadena are preparing for it to rain sometimes pretty heavy today during
Don't
the Rose
rain
parade.
On my parade, Steve.
Well, actually, if you want to think positive, the flowers are going to love it.
There you go.
Yes, they're going to bloom even more.
Yes, a little bit, unfortunately for everybody else.
Rain in my parade.
No. Well, it's only rained 10 times in the Rose Parade history, which dates back to 1890. And, of course, the parade is going to go on regardless of the weather, and that's what's happening.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate it. 7:57 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Let's see. Oh, kind of interesting story about President Trump and some of the people that have been his allies and are sort of now seeing some fracturing in those alliances. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is kind of a famous one where she was, you know, 100% aligned with him every single time. And then sort of all of a sudden, whoa, they're on the outs and, you know, they're against each other. Lauren Boebert, another interesting one that has, you know, become an issue. Remember, she was one of the key people who voted, or maybe she was the key, I forget now, person who voted for the Epstein files release and, you know, broke the tide that allowed that to become, you know, basically a unanimous vote to release the files. But she was one of the people who switched sides and made that. And she might have been the one. I just can't remember which way it was. She joined Tom Massey and Nancy Mace and Marjorie Taylor Greene. So she wasn't the only one, but she was one of the key ones to give the Democrats the numbers, which then eventually became the everybody had the numbers. The reason that's important is because remember the story, was it yesterday, that we had two vetoes the president had issued? One was in Florida over a project that both of these were voice votes. So they were both unanimous votes to make these projects go forward. The one in Florida, he vetoed, we're theorizing, because the Indian tribe involved in it had joined a lawsuit against him over alligator Alcatraz, and so this is political retaliation against them. Well, it looks like the water project in Colorado, clean drinking water for 50,000 people in southeast Colorado, might be the same problem. where he's voting against it because Lauren Boebert was the sponsor of the bill and she turned on him on the Epstein files, and so this is political payback to her. And she was pretty straightforward about it. She says, nothing says America first like denying clean drinking water to 50,000 people in Southeast Colorado, many of whom enthusiastically voted for him in all three elections. So, yeah. She says, I sincerely hope this veto has nothing to do with political retaliation for calling out corruption and demanding accountability. Americans deserve leadership that puts people over politics. What's interesting about this is the White House has said that, you know, they're vetoing it because it's an expensive project. It would continue the failed policies of the past by forcing federal taxpayers to bear even more of the massive cost of a local water project that, as initially conceived, was supposed to be paid for by the localities using it. $250 million has gone onto the water pipeline. Estimate total to be $1.3 billion. So, not being on the inside of President Trump's brain, I cannot say which one it is. But I think it's interesting that she is inferring it to have been political retaliation and is saying so loudly, aggressively, and publicly. I must have missed the rally where he stood in Colorado and promised to personally derail critical water infrastructure projects, she said. My bad. Stream.